We've been doing a series called Frequency. We started it last week, and the concept here is that God is speaking. The Bible tells us, and Jesus said it, my sheep hear my voice. He's speaking. It's like a radio frequency. God can be speaking and his voice be there, but until we learn how to tune in, we can miss out. When you learn to tune in correctly, and there might be a lot of noise in your world as you're trying to tune in, that's okay, because if you've ever tried to tune in a radio, it gets a little noisier before it gets to the true signal. And as we tune in, we can begin to hear God for ourselves. And this is not for the full-time ministers. This is not for the elect or the elite. This is for every believer. Listen to me for the next few moments. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. This truth is so important, but it's also been a truth that has been so abused and misused that it's turned people off. Because you'll get some people that will just literally take it and they'll be weird and they're nutty and they're flaky. And I want you to know that Jesus is not nutty or flaky. Just some of his kids are. Can you handle that on this Sunday morning? They're not nutty and flaky and weird because of Jesus. They were that way before they met Jesus. And he's working that out of them. We're to love people even though some of them are nutty, weird, and flaky. But if we're not careful, we'll get offended by some that are just sincere, but they're kind of not balanced yet, mature yet. And they'll walk around and they'll talk about hearing voices all the time. And that should make anybody a little nervous if they're like, you know, I mean, hearing voices in their head all the time. You're like, maybe that's not Jesus' voice you're hearing. Come on. We can take things so out of context from the truth of God's word. And that's why we're doing this series, to bring this pivotal, powerful point into all of our lives that every believer needs, but to keep it down the balance, the middle of the road of God's word, so we don't veer off. Because when you start living on the sides, you usually end up in a ditch. And there's too many people that walk around, and they literally, it's like they flip on a crazy button or turn on a nutty hat. You know, I mean, they're normal, and all of a sudden you talk about Jesus, their voice changes, their eyes squint, and they talk slower, and they talk in King's English. Oh, the Lord saith unto thee. Well, Jesus don't talk like that. That's King's English. That's a translation of the Bible. Jesus didn't even talk English when he walked on this earth in ministry. And yet most believers don't understand that. They don't. A lot of Christians in the church world don't get that. They literally think that Jesus says thee and thou. And he don't. Or they think that being spiritual is being, ooh, almost spooky. And it's not. It's not flaky. It's not spooky. It's not weird. Because God's not weird. And as a result, the pendulum has swung to the other extreme, where some people are like, oh, I don't want any of that. You know what I mean? We'll let just the full-time ministers hear God and the rest of it. You know, I don't know if God even speaks anymore. That was the early day church, and they totally shut down. And that's not right either. There's a balance to this. Say balance.
Balance.
There's a balance to this whole thing. And so what we have to do is bring the word into a place in our lives that we keep the balance so that we can grow. Because just like we talked last week, there is such amazing opportunities and power in your life when you are in a position to hear God speak to your heart before you buy that car, before you buy that house, before you get involved in that relationship, before you go down that path, before you go into that place. God can speak to you. And today we want to talk about, how does God speak? Because if we don't know how God communicates to us, do you know what we tend to do? We tend to gravitate, I'll say it this way, in my opinion, to one or two things. We tend to gravitate to the place of least resistance or the least problems. So if there's a problem, then that we take that as a sign from God, we shouldn't do it. Because if God was in it, it should be easy. And you can't find that in the Bible. When God placed upon David's heart to charge Goliath, it wasn't because it was the easiest thing to do. When God told his people, I'm going to lead you in the promised land and there's giants and you can take them, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. When Paul did ministry, it wasn't the easiest thing. See, what I'm telling you, and especially in our spirit-filled circles, we use the phrase a lot, oh, the Holy Spirit's leading me. And in this series, we want to pull back the curtain and deal with some issues that most time pastors don't deal with. Because a lot of Christians aren't hearing from God. They're just running from a problem. And they're blaming God. It's like that story I told last week about the guy who had a dozen bullseyes and a perfect bullet hole in every bullseye. And someone asked, how'd you do that? And he said, I shot first and then I painted the bullseye second. Guaranteed to get it right dead center. See, a lot of Christians, we make a decision and then we paint Jesus around it. And that can only work for a certain amount of time, and it's going to burn you. Because when God asks you to do something, you don't have to go to the place of least resistance. Being led by the Spirit of God, which we're called to do, doesn't mean the easiest route. If you've ever done that, if you've ever tithed, you know that God asking you to give a 10% of your income is not the easiest route. God asking you to forgive somebody who's done you wrong is not the easiest route. But being led by God doesn't mean it's easy as far as the place of least resistance. Did you hear me? And too many times people say, oh, you know, the Lord's kind of leading me to do something different. No, your boss just chewed you out. You're personally offended. You don't know how to apply the principles of the word so you can deal with the offense correctly. So it's easier to run from the problem and ignore that it's a problem and blame God. I'm talking to somebody. Did you hear me? It's too easy to ignore something as a problem and do something different so you can avoid the problem. And David could have done that. Well, that's not my giant, not my battle. I'm just here to bring food. Whew, I'm glad I don't have to deal with this. No, no, no. God might want you to deal with something that's not comfortable. That's not easy. But it'd be all God, the whole process. The second thing we tend to do, in my opinion, is we tend to define God's will by the place of what's easy, the lack of problems or having problems. And the second thing is usually the intensity of a desire. If we really, 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 really want something, we have a human tendency of saying that's God telling us that we should have it. And God will give you the desires. The Bible tells us to delight yourself in the Lord and he'll place his desires in your heart. But you got to keep it in balance. It's when you're delighting in him. He's placing his desires in your heart. Some people just have a desire and it's not from God at all. Could be hormones. I just love him. He's so wonderful. I know that it's a match. He's my soulmate from Jesus. He's married and got 5 children. Leave him alone. I looked down so nobody said, Pastor called me out and looked at me and pointed at me. I just know. I'm just being real. It's amazing how people will be praying for something. Lord, but I know he's not happy, so I'm going to pray that he divorces his wife. Are you kidding me? You better run from that. That's not of God. Oh, that car. I just got to have that brand new car. It's me. It would make me so happy. But it's way more than you can afford. But Jesus will make a way where there seems to be no way. Wait a minute. That's taking the scripture way out of context. See, this teaching will help you excel in life if you're willing to be open between you and the Lord in your own time and say, oh, God, speak to my heart. Because it's amazing how the Holy Spirit say, yeah, you've got to work on that area. Because we have a tendency of not wanting to hear from God. We'd rather just be led by problems or by passions, what I really, 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 really want. And we'll define that must be God. And I've seen people do that and then have major problems for a long time because they've made long-term decisions off an emotion. Did you hear me? That's not what I want for you. That's not what your Heavenly Father wants for you. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. It's our goal for you to hear from your Heavenly Father, for him to be able to speak into your life. It doesn't mean you hear voices all the time. Keep it real. It doesn't mean that you go to a drive-thru and you got to pray for 10 minutes if you should supersize your soda. I'm looking for a voice, Diet Coke or Sprite or Orange. Aren't you getting out of there? Because there's some of us who want to get through the line. Come on, somebody. That's where it's gotten weird. God's not weird. My goal is you come through this teaching balanced and able to hear God speak to your heart. in a way that connects you to his power. Because when God speaks to you, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when God speaks to you his word, when you hear God's voice speak to you, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter of men and women of faith. And most of them started their journey when God said, Abraham, I want you to leave. Moses, I want you to go back. God spoke to it, and when God speaks to you, it builds and stirs this thing called faith on the inside of you that causes you to see the world differently, to begin to see God's perspective, to believe the unbelievable, to charge the impossible, to speak to the mountain expected to move. Why? Because in the natural, you're not working off just information in your head. God has told you what I want you to do. You can be in the midst of a storm and still be calm on the inside because God spoke to you. This is powerful. And it's your right as a child of God, as a believer, it's your right to hear God's voice. Not walk around hearing a bunch of voices. No, that's got issues. Amen?
Amen.
But to hear God speak to you. Now, how does God talk? We're going to go over a few key elements. For some of you, this is very basic. Yeah, I got it. Been there, done that for a while. For others, it might be brand new information. But for all of us, it should be a blessing and benefit to keep us on track. Amen?
Amen?
How does God speak to you? That's the answer to that question we're going to talk about today. How does God speak to you? Number one, he speaks to you through his word. This is very basic. We're starting basic. We're going to build. He speaks to you through his word. The Bible is the word of God. Catch that? The Bible is the word of God. Isaiah 34, verse 16 says, look in the scroll of the Lord and read. For it is his mouth that has given the order. That written word of God starts off as the spoken word of God. God speaks his word. Isaiah 55, 11. So as God's word goes forth out of his mouth, it shall not return void. God's word, his written word to you, is the beginning stage, is the foundation, an important foundation in your walk. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is the foundation. Jesus said, if you build your life on anything else but the word of God, it's going to crumble. Someone who hears what I'm saying and does what I say and builds based on what they're hearing from me, they will build their life, they will build their career, they will build their marriage, they'll build their future on a foundation that when storms of life do come, and they will come to anybody in life. But when they come, you'll stand strong and survive. That's what your Heavenly Father wants. Did you hear me? And not be moved by all the different stuff that happens. So you don't have to be pulled by what's the easiest or hardest or what you really want or what you don't want. You find the mind of God. And it starts with the word of God. Everything God speaks to you is in alignment with his word. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He'll remind you of my word. Everything, folks. I got to say this over and over again so that we get it in our hearts and our minds. Because if you miss this point, everything else I tell you after this will not benefit you the way God meant for it to. Everything lines up with the word of God. Everything lines up with the word of God. Everything must line up with the word of God. If you don't know what the word says, you won't know if it lines up. That's why it's important to get the word in your heart and your mind. Everything lines up with the word of God. Did you hear me?
Yes.
What if so-and-so says it? I don't care who says it. I don't care if I say it. Challenge everything with the word of God. But if a pastor says something, we shouldn't just believe. No, challenge everything with the word. But they're on TV. Challenge everything with, but they have a lot of followers. Challenge everything. They got a lot of money. Challenge everything with the word of God. Can I be honest with you? You want to know, this is a trap that happens in the spiritual, in the church world, because we get saved and we love God and we love people. Those are good things. But then we get into a gullible state and we believe everybody. And you can love somebody, but that doesn't mean what they're saying is right. In the church world, there's a lot of believers who are sincere, but they're gullible. Because they never challenged everything. They're afraid to challenge anything with the word of God. And I want you to grow in the things of God where you challenge. I don't care who says it. Paul said it this way, if an angel shows up and preaches another gospel that's different than what I preach, let him be accursed. Why? Because the devil comes as an angel of light. One of the devil's key tactics is to slipping you up and messing you up is to deceive you, get you caught in deception. The power of deception is you're not aware that you're deceived. And sometimes we look for the spectacular. And God can do the spectacular. But the devil can do spectacular stuff too. Don't you realize in the Bible it says that the Antichrist will come, and one of the things he uses to deceive the multitudes is that him and the false prophet will do lying signs and wonders? That means they'll do miracles, and people say, it must be God. Look at their power. And the devil has power, but his power cannot compare to the power of God. Did you hear me? Too many people get caught up following stuff and not the word of God. I talked to one person who was many years ago on an airplane. We got a conversation, and he believed that he was Mormon. And he believed that the Mormon religion was right and Christianity is wrong. And I said, why do you believe that? Well, we have to be right. We have the most money. We're a Fortune 500 company, and they are. We have a lot of money. We have a lot of people. We must be right. Well, wait a minute. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're right. Just because you have a lot of people following you doesn't mean you're right. Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and many find that. Did you hear me? And the natural human tendency doesn't mean if you're saved or unsaved. It's a humanity thing. You have to get this, is that when people get in crowds, they lose the individual thinking, and they jump in. Psychologists call it into this group or crowd thinking, and they become gullible, and they don't think clearly, and they make group decisions that doesn't make any sense. As believers, we can love God, love people, but don't be gullible. Just because somebody says it, challenge it with the word of God. Haven't you ever wondered? You hear these cults, and they'll get all these people to follow them, and then they'll go into another place and get them all to move, and then they'll get them all to drink Kool-Aid, and they die. Didn't somebody, I have to ask, in that whole mix, look at that Kool-Aid and say, this don't seem right? Right? I'm like, somebody. I mean, you can't get, if you have 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000 people all drinking something, even if it's communion, you can't get everybody to do it at the same time. So somebody jumped ahead and drank the first one. And somebody's going to be the last one. And between the first one and the last one, people had to start dying. So somebody had to think. Why would they do that? They're not thinking clearly. They're deceived. Why? Because they were gullible. Why? Because they didn't challenge what the person... They became a worshiper of a personality. I'm just telling you straight. We honor leadership. We honor authority. But you are not to worship people. Let me say that again. Somebody need to hear that. You honor and respect leadership and authority. But you're not called by God to worship anyone but him. And when you begin to worship a personality, well, I know they're wrong, but you know they're so nice to me. You got to be kidding me. And that, I mean, we can talk about the Kool-Aid all day, but we can bring it up to modern times and some weird stuff happens in the church world. People committing adultery in the church and selling it that it's a good thing. Are you kidding me? Truth is relevant in every age. You can't say, well, you know, that was Bible times. We're more modern times. God's a little more progressive. No, no, no. Truth is truth in every generation. Why am I telling you this? Because it becomes in the church world a dysfunction. They did this to Moses. Moses said, God said, Moses, get all the people, bring them to the mountain so they can worship me and I can reveal myself to them. And he tries to get them together. And you know what they do? They say, Moses, we don't want to go. You go. We'll hang out in the back. You come down and tell us what God says. You know, I don't want to hear God from myself. I'll just trust a prophet or apostle or pastor. I'll trust somebody to tell me what God says. And a certain amount, listen to me, certain amount is okay. We believe in apostles, pastors, and prophets in the fivefold ministry. We believe in those type of ministries. And God could use people to speak into your life. But if all you have from God is what other people is speaking into your life that they're hearing from God for you, that's literally, are you listening? I don't want to offend nobody. That's a spiritual infancy. It's okay for a baby to be a baby. When you first get saved, you're a spiritual baby. It takes time and to develop and grow. You go to our nursery and there's babies in the sitting there in a little jumper seat maybe, reaching out for a bottle, needed a diaper change. All of that's okay for a baby. But if you're 53 years old, cramming your little leg into that thing and sitting there trying to jump up and down looking for a bottle and need a diaper change, security, there are some issues, right? It's okay for a phase of spiritual growth where you're dependent on people to help you discern and learn the voice of God. But if you've been saved for 30 years, it's time for you to grow up, to hear for yourself. This is powerful. If pastors don't teach this, you know what we do? We build within the body, the local body, a dysfunction of everybody needing us. Because without us, they couldn't hear what God is saying. And if you ever had a group say, don't pray, don't read, I'll tell you what God's saying, that should be a red flag. Because a good pastor, man or woman, should be a person that loves God and loves you enough that they want to introduce you into that relationship with the Lord where you can hear God for yourself. So that you never are vulnerable. So you're never vulnerable to anything that comes down the pike. Not that you're perfect and we're all learning and growing in this. But too many times people get deceived and they go down a path that they didn't have to go down and experience stuff that God never intended them to experience because they weren't in a position to hear God from themselves and they just followed the crowd or followed a personality. Followed somebody on TV who says, and this happens in giving in the church world all the time, and I want to just scream. I gave it. That was just powerful. Somebody says, you know what? I gave it. Get on TV. And I don't mean to bash ministries. Good people, good ministries, but doesn't mean they always do everything that's right. Challenge everything, everyone, by the word of God. Everything I say, challenge it with the word. You'll see people on TV say, oh, I gave $1,000. The Lord told me to give $1,000 to this ministry, and in 1 month, I had $100,000 come back. You know, if you call in right now and commit $1,000, I bet God would do the same thing for you. Now, if you had that happen to you and you did it, don't feel bad. Just pat yourself on the back that you helped. But don't expect God to come through and do an amazing financial miracle. Something inside you going, damn. Well, why, Pastor? God did it for them. He's not a respecter of persons. God told them to do it. If God tells you to give $1,000, then God will back his word. If you gave $1,000 because God told somebody else to give $1,000, that's like you walking on the water because Jesus told somebody to step out of the boat and they walked on the water. So you go get a boat and go out to the lake and you think, well, if God's not a respecter of persons, he told Peter, surely I can do the same thing. And the moment you step out of that boat, just mark it down. You just went for a long swimming lesson and you got some exercise in. That's what you're getting out of it, but you're not going to walk on the water unless Jesus tells you to step out of the boat. Did you hear me? Again, we're all growing, but I don't want you to have to make a decision and have to paint Jesus around it and live with the problems because you made that decision. You can hear my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice. So it's growing in this where God can speak to you about your children before there's a problem so you can resolve it, about your finances, about your relationships, about your job, about your neighborhood, whatever it might be, God can speak to you and give you insight or direction or wisdom or protection. How does God speak to us? Let's talk about three main things. Again, the word of God. Everything's got to be challenged with the word of God. Everything's got to be challenged with the word of God. Everything has to be challenged with the word of God. So if someone says, oh, I'm anointed, I'm gifted, you need to do this, check it with the word. Secondly, a very common area, way that the Lord speaks to his people is through what we call the inward witness. John 16, verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness with our spirit You can define this or articulate this in many different ways. Some people call it like a red light or green light on the inside. A peace and a rest on the inside, or an uneasiness and something's not right. You get that out of Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state." Now, if you're taking notes, let me throw you some other verses for you to study it out, because I don't want you to just think that there's one or two verses here. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13, and Romans 8, verse 16. Let the peace, the Spirit of God can bring peace or unrest. Say, wait a minute, that's not right. Something's not right here. You might not know what it is, but all of a sudden, you started to sign that contract. You had an uneasiness. Don't do this. But if you don't know the word, then your emotional state might be totally based on something different. Your emotional state might be based on what you want. Your emotional state, you got to find where, because someone who's not serving God, they can have a peaceful moment, but they when you line it up with the word, they're way off. The closer you get to the word, then anything that kind of moves you away from it, it should set off an alarm. Something's not right here. You know, I like the person. They got a lot of charisma. Boy, they're on TV a lot. I really, looks good, but something's not right. You better be careful. And I'm not pulling anybody out in my mind, so don't think I'm saying something I'm not. I'm trying to get where each and every one of us, regardless of what circle you're in, you might be at work, you might be at home, you might be paying bills, you might be in church, you might be watching TV, where we can be sensitive, the Spirit of God saying, wait a minute. Or you can make a decision, and there could be a storm on the outside, but peace on the inside. The Lord's saying, you're doing the right thing. Those are tough, but it's powerful. Amen? And last but not least, and obviously not limited to, because there are several different ways, we'll say number three is the Holy Spirit speaking to you as a voice. His voice speaking into your heart. Now, let me just throw this in, and I'm not going to go into context. If you study the book of Acts, you'll find that God used visions, and there's what they call open visions. That's when you're awake and you see something in the realm of the Spirit. He uses night visions. That's when you're asleep and you have a dream. But just because you have a dream doesn't mean it's a message from God. It could be what we call a pizza dream, which means you ate a lot of pizza the night before and now you're just dreaming crazy things. Did you hear me? God can send an angel. He did it throughout the book of Acts. You see that scripture? There's different ways God can speak to you. But it does it, or everything must line up with the word of God. Did you hear me? If you have a weird dream and you compare it to the word and the inward witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and nothing's lining up, just put it on the back shelf. God can use the gifts of the Spirit and use somebody to speak into your life. Well, I got a word for you. Lord says this, 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 this. If God ever uses somebody, and he does, and we believe this, if God uses somebody to speak into your life that he's heard something for you, it will always be in alignment with the word. Did you hear me? And will always be a confirmation to what God's already spoken to you. I'm helping you out. Somebody comes up and says, I'm a prophetess or I'm a prophet, and the Lord's telling me, you need to sell that watch and give me the money and sow it into my ministry, and God's going to bless you and get you out of debt in 5 days. See, is that aligned with the word? Yeah, if you sow, you shall reap. Yeah, we can go with that. Did God already speak to my heart to do that? No, that's... Say, you know what, let me pray about it. I had a person walk in years ago and came in and said, are you the pastor? I said, yeah. He introduced himself. He goes, I'm prophet so-and-so, and he gave his name. And he said, you know, I woke up this morning, and God gave me a word for your church. Just wondering if I could have time to share the word from God to your people. Now, you'd almost say, ooh, a prophet? God said a prophet to us in our church. You don't want to defy a prophet. We believe in prophets. You know, oh, my goodness, we got to be careful. I looked at him and smiled and said, you know what? It's an honor to have you with us today. I said, I don't know you from Adam, and God didn't tell me you're coming, so you're not going to get near our platform, but I am so glad you came, and I want you to enjoy yourself. Said it nicely, quickly. You mean you told the prophet no? Yeah, because that prophet might be a prophet, but that prophet was in a level of maturity to realize what he was doing. It's not prophetic. It was impulsive on his own desires. First of all, if God actually sent him to me and directed him to it, don't you think he would know my name? Red flag. Have you ever watched, wondered why those people who call psychic hotlines and they ask, who are you? Right? I mean, if they're really, really working in that demonic realm, they should be able to tell me who I am and what my credit card number is. I mean, I just thought that was kind of weird. But anyway, you shouldn't call that stuff. That just opens the door to weird stuff. But I said, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know who you are. God didn't tell me you're coming, so you're not going to get near our platform. Why? Because just because someone says they're from God doesn't mean they're from God. We can get all caught up in the spectacular and miss the significance. Got to line up with the Word of God, and it's got to be a confirmation to what the Lord already spoke to you. That's why you don't have to be worried about God sending, getting close to God, because he might send you to a foreign country with no cell phones and no satellite. No, you're like, oh, I'm afraid if I serve Jesus, I might have to give it all up. Listen, let me help you out. The ones that God sends, they have a desire to go. It's just a trick of the devil to get you to stay away from God. They'll have an unusual desire to walk away from everything that they have just to get to where God's called them to go. It's interesting. So when someone says, come on, here's what God's telling you to do, if it's totally new information, just smile and say, God bless you, I'm going to put it on the back burner. That's not what God's telling me. And down the road, God might show you that, but most likely not, and you just saved yourself from being burned or giving away your watch or moving. And if you don't think that happens, there's prophets that have come into church, and we believe in prophets, that have come into churches and told pastors, God's telling you, you need to step down and give me the church, and they've done it. Because they didn't know any better. It's got to line up with the Word, folks. It's got to line up. It's got to give you that the confirmation of the Holy Spirit on the inside. It can't be just a new revelation if God's going to use people. God speaks to my sheep. Do you see what I'm doing? We're developing maturity in every believer that hears and follows and applies so that you never get caught up in something because you were deceived or tricked. And if you have been, don't feel bad. We all have been at one time or another. We've all given an offering to a ministry on TV and then later thought, why did I do that? If it wasn't that third crying kid, you know, I mean, the first two didn't really get me, but that third one really broke my heart, and I was emptying out my bank account before I knew what was going on. Should we support ministries to help children? Absolutely. Which ones? How much? Find the mind of God. Did you hear me? So the inward witness, the voice of the Holy Spirit, he can speak to you. The Bible says that he that hath ears, Jesus said, hear what the Spirit is saying. Revelation, he says, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. And in Acts, it says that they were praying and ministering before the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said to them, separate Paul and Barnabas to do the work that I want to send them to do. He's talking at the beginning of the church. He's talking at the end of the age of the church. And he's talking even between the church if we learn to turn into the frequency. And not look for voices, because if you look for voices, the devil will show up. If you're just looking for the spectacular, he'll make sure that you'll find a place where gold dust falls from heaven. And then hooks you with an error. Can God send gold? Absolutely. He can send diamonds, he can send anything he wants. But do you know a lot of that stuff? It's not from God. I'm not saying all of it. You can't judge everything like a blanket. But you could be in a situation and someone says, isn't this cool? Wait a minute, something's not right. Because the attention's being drawn to something and not someone. Jesus. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit can say, wait a minute. Is it lined up with the Word? Is it bringing a witness to your spirit? What is God saying to you? This is powerful. This brings maturity. Because I'm just being real. Can I be real with you? Folks, in the church world, there's those who are gullible and then those who are takers. Some of them in leadership that manipulate people to get your money. We believe in giving tithes and offerings. It's a biblical principle. I'll not back away from that. Some people struggle with that. That's between you and Jesus. Find out you can never be blessed by God without obeying God in your tithes and offerings. But other people have abused it and manipulate people. And the people follow it because no one's taught them that they too can find the mind of God and the will of God and not be pulled by everything that's said. There's a lot of voices in the world, but there's still the voice of God. As a child of God, you have a right to hear his voice and to know the will of God and the word of God. But you, if you're not, are you listening? I'll end with this. If we're not faithful with the little, you're not going to be faithful in the much. Do you know where people get messed up is? They start looking for the spectacular, and they forget the foundation. And they'll focus on praying, and we believe in praying. But if all you do is pray and never spend time in the Word, you're developing a sensitivity to the realm of the Spirit, not only the Lord, but also spiritual things, and the devil will try to deceive you because it's the foundation of the truth of God's Word that will keep you balanced. Oh, you know, we'll let the Bible teachers read the Bible. We'll just get together, and it's really about us praying so that there can be power when they preach, and that's important, but if all you do is pray and never get into the Word, you're not in balance. Did you hear me? Every believer needs to have the Word. Otherwise, you can pick up some goofy things looking for voices, and the devil will show up. And there's people that have made major wrong decisions because they followed a voice that was not of God. But they heard it clearly, but they didn't have enough Word in them to know that this, to judge it correctly, that this is not of God. I want you to know the voice of God for yourself so that you're never duped, so that God can bless you and empower you. Because he's speaking to you. That no matter who says something, you challenge it with the word of God. And walk up. If you can't obey the written word of God, you can't obey the voice of the spoken word of God. Oh, I want God. I can't wait till God just speaks to me, tells me. Well, are you obeying the written word? No. Well, then you know what? Let's start with base one. We'll get more into that next week. How do we prepare ourselves, position ourselves, so that you, not being goofy, not being weird, not ooh, spooky, but practically God can speak into your heart and your life in a way that you know that's him and what he's telling you to do. Amen? Amen. Do you receive anything from that today? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.